Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
From Washington, this is the CQ Budget Podcast, your leading Capitol Hill source on how Congress allocates federal taxpayer dollars.
I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker, and joining me this week is the newest member of our budget and appropriations team here at CQ Roll Call, Aidan Quigley. Aidan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Very excited to get started. It's been a busy week up on the Hill, and happy to chat with you about it.
Great. Well, you know, this was supposed to be the week that we had a big COVID-19 aid package. Started out the week with high hopes of that passing, and it all fell apart. And so we wanted to look at what went wrong there. How did this thing just blow up in their faces? Because now they're going to be entering a two-week recess period. It's going to be late April or May before they can come back to this. And there's a lot of work now to do to save this package, which the administration says is going to be desperately needed very quickly, particularly to guard against a new surge of COVID cases. And yet there's nothing now, and they couldn't make it happen. So let's look at that, Aidan, because it was sort of surprising, right? I mean, the week began with this announcement in the Senate of a bipartisan compromise. They had $10 billion agreed to for therapeutics, for vaccines, for testing. Everybody seemed to be on board, and they had a way to pay for it, which is what Republicans had been insisting on, that they wouldn't allow any new COVID spending unless it were paid for. They had found ways to tap unspent money from previous pandemic relief laws. Two parties agreed to it. They came up with a $10 billion package, and then it falls apart. So what happened?
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, on Monday, Senator Mitt Romney rolled out a $10 billion agreement. It really seemed like that was going to get done in the Senate this week. But then by the middle of the week, it had kind of completely fallen apart because of a dispute over Title 42, which is a immigration issue on the southern border. Basically, that was a regulation put in place to stop kind of the flow of immigrants coming from Mexico during COVID. It was seen as a COVID step, but it also had the effect of definitely slowing border crossings. And the Republicans want the Biden administration actually. In past weeks, it's been reported that they're considering rescinding that policy. That caused an uproar among Republicans and a handful of moderate Democrats or politically vulnerable Democrats in the upcoming election who are not in favor of that being repealed.
Yeah, it was striking. I mean, this shows the power of immigration politics because, boy, was that bad timing for the Biden administration. Just as they're trying to get this bipartisan aid package together, at the same time, before that was done, they announced the lifting of this Title 42 rule that had prevented migrants from crossing in on the grounds that it's a pandemic risk. And that just incited Republicans. I mean, we immediately heard blowback from them, right? I mean, they immediately criticized it and saying, how can you, because Republicans saw duplicity here. They were saying, how can you on the one hand say, we still have a COVID pandemic to fight and we need all this new aid to protect us. And on the other hand, say, when it comes to the southern border, the pandemic is essentially over. We don't have to worry so much about it so we can let migrants in again. They saw that as completely contradictory. The Biden administration, of course, would disagree. They said that there is no longer really a public health risk to letting migrants in. They can get vaccinated at the border. The nature of the pandemic has changed enough with vaccines that we can resume some migration. But Republicans were just not buying that. And even some of the Democrats, as you pointed out, did not like the idea of suddenly lifting this regulation because they feared this huge surge at the border for which the U.S., they fear, would be unprepared. And so it caused an immediate uproar. And I think fair to say, Aidan, it just sank the whole package.
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say because, you know, Democratic leadership could not bring forward the agreement with an amendment on Title 42 because so many Democrats would support it. It would definitely cause a headache for the administration, at least. You know, it would kind of undermine the administration's, you know, immigration policy. So that really kind of set us back to the drawing board, at least as it comes to this agreement and moving forward. You know, we have a 2-week recess coming up, so it's going to be a while, at least a few weeks before we get kind of back on track and getting this aid passed. If there is a way past this dispute, which it, at this point it's pretty unclear how they're going to resolve this issue.
Yeah, Republicans were going to insist on an amendment to keep Title 42 in place, and then Democratic leaders feared that could actually pass because some of their own members want that. And that would jeopardize the whole package. And so it was a huge conundrum. And so they just shelved the whole bill. And even, you know, even this $10 billion they had agreed to is less than half the size that the White House said was needed, we should point out. I mean, the White House was requesting $22.5 billion. So this was less than half that. That's how much of a struggle it's been now to get this package in place. There's some skepticism here among Republicans, certainly, that a lot of this new money is needed. And it just shows after spending trillions of dollars, these unprecedented sums that we've had over the last 2 years, really, for COVID relief, where money was just flying out of the flying out of everywhere. Now, even a limited $10 billion package is a heavy lift. And it's going to take some doing now to get that back on track. And unless they sort out this immigration problem, I'm not sure how they get there now. I mean, do you see any, is there any obvious solution here in sight? Because I'm not seeing one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really see how they're going to be able to move past this, at least at this point. You know, I'm sure there'll be discussions to try to find a workable solution for both sides, but it's a pretty big dispute. And it's hard to see either side budging much from the position they've taken at this point.
So we have to wait and see how they resolve this. And at the same time, the other development from this past week was still more pandemic aid, which is going along a separate track, because there's still a push to provide additional relief to a lot of industries that were battered by the pandemic with all the shutdowns that we had. And that's particularly true of the restaurant industry. They in particular have suffered huge losses with people unable to go out to eat for so long. And Congress last year did pass about $28 billion for restaurants and bars. And to show the need out there, I mean, that package was depleted in a heartbeat. I mean, as soon as that fund was created, this Restaurant Revitalization Fund, the money was virtually gone. Only about a third of the applicants got any of the grant money, and the rest of them were left with nothing. And so there's been a push for months, really since last summer, to provide more aid for restaurants. And there has been some bipartisan support for that. It was not part of this basic COVID aid package because there was a fear of just broadening this thing too much and jeopardizing support for the whole thing. So they've been moving the restaurant aid on a separate track, and that's had its own can of worms, Aidan. As you covered this week, it's getting more and more complicated because it's not just restaurants, but there's a push for other industries to get relief too and get their slice of the pie. And seems like there's not much agreement there between the House and the Senate as to who should get how much of it.
Yeah, for sure. So the restaurant piece of the bills are pretty similar between the House and the Senate on this package. It's a little more money on the House side. It's $42 billion. And on the Senate side, it's $40 billion. It's a $2 billion gap, but in the scale of things, that's not a huge difference.
Yeah.
But the problem here is on the money for the other impacted industries. So on the House side, they want kind of one big pot of money that is open for all these any industry kind of affected by the pandemic, where they've lost, you know, they've lost income due to the pandemic, and you know they don't want to put up any roadblocks to prevent, you know, companies that were affected from getting aid. But over on the Senate side, the Senate feels like there are certain industries that should be prioritized in this package, and you know should receive funding. So they kind of break it down into, you know, highlighting some specific industries that deserve funding, such as gyms and other similar businesses that were hit hard by the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a big difference, right? Because the House just wants to throw it open to anyone who suffered major revenue losses, and the Senate seems concerned that some of these industries just shouldn't qualify. They don't deserve the aid on pandemic grounds, and they want to limit it to just a few basic industries like live theaters, you mentioned gyms, but they really do want to restrict it. And there's another difference in these bills too, Aidan, and that is how to pay for it, right? It sounds to me as though it's mostly unpaid for, so it would deepen the deficit. We don't have an official score yet from the Congressional Budget Office, but seems pretty clear that most of this would add to the deficit, which is another concern that Republicans are going to have. But they do try to pay for at least part of it, but they pay for it in different ways, right?
Yeah, so the offsets question is, I think, a bigger stumbling block than the differences in who's getting the non-restaurant money here. I think the House Representative Phillips from Minnesota, who's kind of leading the push here, on the House side, said yesterday basically that he thinks that they can bridge the gap on the other industry piece, but the bigger question is getting 10 Republican senators to support such a high level of spending without full offset. So, you know, Phillips and the House Democrats are saying that they're going to use money from fraud cases to help pay for it. And, you know, there's been a lot of reporting that there has been billions of dollars of fraud, but Republicans aren't fully buying that as a offset, saying that the number is a lot less, you know, at least the number the government can get back is going to be a lot less than the billions in this bill. So there's definitely a dispute over that, and getting 10 Republican senators on board might be a challenge, but there is, you know, the Senate bill is bipartisan at this point. Senator Roger Wicker from Mississippi is kind of the leading Republican. And while the senators say they don't know if they have 10 Republican votes yet, there's definitely going to be a strong push to get there, you know, when we get back from the recess.
Yeah, I mean, the notion of cracking down on fraud to help pay for this is always very appealing, because who's in favor of fraud, right? But that is a problem, I think, that Republicans point out, is that it's very hard to actually get at the fraud, and it often ends up not saving you that much money. There, I think past history would suggest that. I think Republicans do have a valid point on that. And even in the Senate, I'm not sure they're buying it, Aidan. It seems to me as though the Senate Democratic leader on this issue, Ben Cardin of Maryland, was equally suspicious of how the House planned to pay for it and isn't sure the money would be there. So that is a problem. I think the Senate bill, Cardin's bill, offers, I think it was about $5 billion in savings from some unspent Paycheck Protection Program funds that are sitting there that they could tap. Those are those forgivable loans to small businesses that were created during the pandemic. So his offset would use that program. And of course, the problem there is that's only $5 billion, right? And his bill would cost $48 billion. So it's hardly much of an offset. It's one offset, but it's hardly paying for the bulk of this thing. So it does seem as though it's going to depend on how much Republicans are going to insist that this thing be paid for, or mostly paid for, because right now it's really not paid for. And on the COVID aid package, the basic healthcare funding, they were insisting that every dollar be paid for. And I'm not sure how you reconcile paying for every dollar of this $10 billion healthcare package and letting most of this restaurant money and other business money go out the door without paying for most of it. There's a disconnect there that would also have to be kind of reconciled, or at least overlooked, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. That's definitely a big difference. And yeah, as you mentioned earlier, you know, Senator Cardin is the leading Democrat on this, and he was saying that the fraud offset is, I think he said, squishy. So he's definitely skeptical that that would be enough to even make a dent or a major dent, you know, in this package.
It's a tough issue now that's gonna hang over them during the recess and maybe into next month. But it's not going away because the White House, well, we should also say on this restaurant aid bill, the White House does not sound as though they're on board, right? I mean, we talked to an administration official yesterday who said, it sounded like they're not sure the money's really needed for that. They wouldn't commit to even supporting anything on restaurant aid. So that would be another hurdle is if the White House doesn't want the package.
Yeah, that's definitely a big hurdle. You know, as you mentioned earlier, the White House has been very clear that they want the $10 billion or more than $10 billion for COVID on the health side. Definitely a question about if the White House thinks that this restaurant piece is needed. But again, that's a different question from would they sign it if it got to the desk. You would have to think that this would be something the administration would ultimately support if it did get through Congress. But that is a big if at this point.
Yeah. So it's a real problem. And the overall COVID aid issue isn't going away because the White House says we're going to be running out of supplies and vaccines. I think in May was the earliest deadline they were facing. That's an issue. So they're going to come back at this and demand more money. And we're just going to have to see how that plays out. They did get a lot of stuff done this week, including a Supreme Court confirmation. But when it comes to pandemic aid, mission uncompleted, and we're gonna see what happens next. And CQ Roll Call will be covering it all for you as always. But we are out of time, so that does it for us today. Thanks, Aiden, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be speaking with you and our listeners in the future as well.
Sounds good, and we will see you all. We'll be back next week.